the pandemic that hit, and I'm actually tired of hearing about it, but I'll say what he tells me to say. But when the pandemic that hit and everything that went along with it and after it proved something that was very shocking to me personally. It proved that if you put enough fear in front of people, well, let's put people on the side. You put enough fear among the church, you put enough pressure on the church, you start smearing people in the church, they'll back away. They'll back away. It proved it. Why? Churches shut down and haven't reopened. You read comments on social media. Pastors arguing with each other about whether we should or should not be vaccinated. To the point where I've been unfriended so many times because I don't believe that. I believe what the word said. I am the God that forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Now that doesn't mean nothing will ever attack you. He said he heals. So that means something's going to come. He'll take care of it if you let him. If you let him. Yeah, well, you know, he heals through medicine. I'm not anti-medicine. I take medicine, but I don't make a choice to take medicine. I go to my Lord. What do you want me to do about this diagnosis? They gave me this prescription, Father. What do you want me to do with it? If he says put it on the shelf, I put it on the shelf. If he says fill it and take the medicine, I fill it and I take the medicine. Because anything else is operating in my own strength and my own understanding. Anything else says, I know what's best for me. And that's what this pandemic, all these social issues, political issues, cultural issues, all of it proved. You put pressure on the church, they're going to give in. They're going to give in. Not this one. As I said when I was younger, nah, not me. Because there's something I know. If God hasn't given me, or I should say, since God has not given me a spirit of fear, why should I be afraid of anything or anybody? Growing up, I had a little taste of it. I wasn't afraid of anyone because of mommy. Anybody put their hands on me, mommy took care of them. It was just that, folks, in my day, it wasn't the Bloods and the Crips. It was the Roman lords, the chaplains, and the bishops. Those were the prevalent street gangs. Mommy went to each one, took me with her. This is my son. He's not joining your gang. And if you put your hands on him, you will see me again. I didn't have to join any gangs. I was known as Miss Ruby's son, all up and down the boulevard. Don't mess with him, why? That's Miss Ruby's son. Who's Miss Ruby? You don't want to find out. I'm not kidding. That's the way she was. At her funeral, I told people she had a part-time job. She trained the female grizzly bears how to take care of their young. But I had some boundaries. And I had to stay within the boundaries of her protection. I had to stay. I couldn't wander. There might have been some places that didn't know about her yet. So I had to stay in the area that was assigned to me. It was just that simple. So the concept for me of God protecting me was easy to grab hold of because I had a natural example of it. And anything that happened to me, I go to what God said. Reverend, you have multiple blood clots in both of your lungs. Well, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. But be not dismayed. I've overcome the world. I've taken away its power to harm you. So, Doc, you could say, in this world, you might get blood clots. Don't spaz out about it. Jesus took away their power to harm me. I wasn't afraid of blood clots. I wasn't afraid because then I start teaching differently if I'm afraid. I wouldn't tell you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I'd have to water it down. I'm not doing that. So if you hear that in my voice, that's where it's coming from. We've, in essence, taken the bait and we've bowed down to this giant statue that has a lot of names: pandemic, racial divide, cultural divide, political divide. I don't want to be canceled. Put me part of the cancel culture. I can't let anybody know I'm a Christian. Why not? Go to Matthew 5, please. Verses 13 to 16. Excuse me, I didn't write which translation this is. Your lives are like salt among the people. But if you, like salt, become bland, how can your saltiness be restored? Flavorless salt is good for nothing and will be thrown out and trampled on by others. Your lives light up the world. Look at the person next to you. Point at them and say, your life lights up the world. Let others see your light from a distance. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? Your lives light up the world. Well, we're made in the image of and likeness of the Godhead. The Son was part of the Godhead. It says in John, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. He said, the light shineth in the darkness. The light doesn't shine in the light where you can't see it. The light shineth in the darkness. And if you look up in the darkness, understand, if it's not, you'll find out that it means there wasn't a thing the darkness can do about it. Darkness cannot, let me tell you something. Looks nice and bright in here, doesn't it? But when the darker it gets, the brighter the lights look. So why are we trying to avoid going through dark places? We have the light, but we're afraid of the dark. It's a silly thing, but it's something that I just don't understand. If a spider ran across the floor, half of you would get up and run out. Spider, spider. you're probably 250 times bigger than the spider. And don't let a mouse come in here. Folks will be on top of the chairs. But ask yourself a question. Is it a creeping thing? Did God not give you dominion over every creeping thing? I give it a chance. If the door's over there and it's headed, I'll open the door. Say, you can get out if you want to. The minute it turns away from the door, too late. They're one of God's creatures. When they're inside the house, it's pestilence. Verse 16 says, don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others so that the commendable things you do will shine as a light upon them. Then they will give praise to your heavenly Father. But listen to what the Message Bible says. It says, God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Deacon Don, could you just stand up? Now, he's up there. He's in the background. He's a light. But everybody can't see him. Come up here. He's been made light. Just go right up and stand right about here on the stage. You're right there. Tell me something about Deacon Don. He's tall, has on a beige suit. What else? He's married. He's what? How do you know those things? You can see him. You can see him. Put the camera down. Just go into the hallway for a minute, please. We've hidden the light. Now you can't see it. You can't see it. I thought he had on a brown suit. I thought he might have been married. I think he's kind of tall. I'm not really sure. We start doubting because we can't see. You can come out now. When you don't see the light, you don't know if it's coming or not. And so what happens, you expect to see a shining light and you don't see it. And your mind starts wondering what happened. Maybe this, maybe that, maybe the other. And you wind up giving in to fear. Because you're not, now you're not sure. Because you don't see, you don't have any example. Thanks, Deacon. The world is looking. Well, let's go this direction. Okay, Lord. Whether they act like it or not, the world is looking for the answer. And they hear our talk. So they start looking at us. We're supposed to be here in front of them, and we're off somewhere else blending in. I read a quote once, nothing against your choice of color, which is our most favorite color should not be beige. Because beige goes with anything. Favorite color shouldn't be beige. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others, and you'll prompt people to open up to God. Last week, I believe it was last week, I shared with you about those 150 some odd young people that died over in Korea, got trampled. Young people, 20 and under, for the most part. And my thought immediately went to how many of them were saved. None of them left their home thinking, I'm going to die tonight. Everybody thinks they have time. How many of you planned out your Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, vacation with 2023, all those things? We take time, we plan them out, believing we're going to be here to do it. But over 150 people. Then we found out on the heels of that, that Bridge in India collapsed. And over 60, 70 more people died just like that. How many of them were worshiping other gods? How many believe? What believers were assigned to go before them and said, I'll do it later? Why won't we just do what God tells us to do? We're afraid. What if? What if what? What if I run out of money? What if the people don't receive me? How am I going to get back home? Who said you're supposed to? One of our ministry friends, Apostle Mike, God sent him to the Philippines. He went one-way ticket and had $20 in his pocket to his name. He never thought, how am I going to get back? That was almost 30 years ago. He's still over there. Has, I think he said, 128 churches that report to him. 128. God wants all men to be saved. Look at 1 Timothy 2. We generally use this before prayer. And it tells us to pray for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. All men, not just the ones you like. He's so nice. I need to get him saved so he can go to heaven. Then you get to Mark 16. And before Jesus could give the Great Commission, which is going to all the world and preach the gospel to every human being, God had to get on the case of his disciples for their stubborn unbelief. Why would someone refuse to believe what Jesus said? You're afraid it won't work for you. Do you want to hear my theory on why I believe Peter denied Christ? I very rarely give you my opinion. But think about this. Peter was with Jesus when Jesus, and so he saw all these miracles. So he was convinced no one could ever do anything to the Christ. He was convinced of that. That's why he said to him, he said, I'll even die with you, never expecting to have to, because you think nobody's going to kill him anyway. After all, can you imagine people picking you up, taking you to the edge of a cliff? Okay, we're going to go three, one, two. throw on three or throw, no, on, throw, okay, one, two, where'd he go? Peter saw that. But now he sees the Roman soldiers putting their hands on Jesus, spitting on him, slapping him, punching him around, throwing him to the ground. And he's thinking, I remember when Jesus was baptized, he rose up out of the water, and a voice from heaven came and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And look at what, this is God's beloved son, and this is happening to him. No voice spoke over me. You were with him. Nuh-uh. But you talk like him. Obviously, he started cursing. Would Jesus say this? Curse, 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 curse. Because he was afraid. He was afraid that what he saw happening to Jesus would happen to him. And he didn't understand that what was happening to Jesus was so that it wouldn't happen to him or any of us. But we get afraid based on what we see other people going through. How many of you were ever bitten by a lion? But if we go on safari, what are we afraid of? Some won't even go swimming because of Jaws. We're afraid. And we have to stop being afraid, because when we're afraid, we're doing just what Peter did. We are denying the Christ. Or I should say, we're denying our connection with the Christ. We're denying our connection. And God said, I didn't give you the means to do that. So that means we're sleeping with the enemy. That's what that means. We're taking what the enemy has offered, and it's gotten in the way of our knowledge of who we are in Christ. Would you go with me, please, to Ephesians? Six. I want to share this, and then I want to give you my main point. I shared this last time because we need to get the thoughts out of our head that we're not going to have to experience any hardships. We're not going to have to stand strong. We need to get that thought out of our heads, because it's the exact opposite. We're going to have to stand strong. The Bible says, resist the devil. We think resist means, just like with binding and loosing, Minister Joe, we think, I bind you, devil, in Jesus' name. Expect devil to get, I can't go anywhere. When Jesus was, think about it, when he was in the desert, he said to Satan, get thee behind me. The devil didn't go. The devil went right on to the next temptation, totally ignoring what Jesus said. So what makes us think that he's going to move every time we open our mouth? When Jesus went across the river, said to the demon, called the devil out of him, and the devil didn't come out of him. And Jesus said to him, what is your name? My name is Legion, for we are many. Jesus is right. Then Legion said, cast us into the pigs. Why? Jesus wasn't moved by all of that. But when he first spoke to that demon, nothing happened. He's like, okay, Lord, I told it to get out. You told me it would get out. Why didn't it get out? What do I have to do? instead of panicking and think you've encountered super devil. That's where that connection with God comes in. If you say something that doesn't appear to work, ask the Holy Ghost. You should have done that in the first time. But he said, now, my beloved ones, in Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10, in the Passion Translation. And I like the Passion Translation, for, especially for this verse, because of the way it illustrates the point. I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength. How are you going to get the strength? What did it say? Supernaturally infused. What did the King James say? So even in the King James, where is the power coming? From the Lord. This has to be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious. How do you achieve victory? Somebody tell me, how do you achieve a victory? What do you have to do to be victorious? Win. How can you win unless you are in some sort of competition? So we need to know that we're going to be in a competition, but it's already said to us, stand victoriously. It doesn't say you might stand victoriously. That stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. I absolutely love verse 11 in the Passion Translation because it makes things nice and plain. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us, so that you will be protected as you fight. The armor isn't for you to be safe while you're running away. It's not for that. It's for you to be protected as you stand your ground and fight. Fight against one, what? Against the evil strategies of the accuser. And don't get upset when the enemy gets all in your face. Don't be afraid of that, because we've been told your hand-to-hand combat, that's up close and personal. Deacons, now why don't you sit on the front row? I might call you again, but I need you right now. Stop right there for a moment. See, we'd like for us to fight like this. We're throwing punches and, get out of here. No, come close. We're doing that and the devil's still approaching. He's not the devil. Deacon Donald. It says our hand-to-hand combat, which means he's going to touch me and I'm going to touch him, and we're going to be going at it. I can't be afraid, because in that, I might catch one. But I'm supernaturally protected. So I laugh. And I come back with one. You see that? Why don't you? I might need you again. But our hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings. Listen carefully to who it's with. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. You're not fighting against some wimpy devil. You are fighting against a powerful class of demon gods. You're fighting against the best the devil has to offer. His special forces. Now, I asked you this before, it bears asking again. When Satan said, I'm going to exalt my throne above the Most High, who threw him out of heaven? Who? What'd you say? No, God didn't do it. Michael. God authorized the Archangel Michael to get rid of this guy. And Michael threw him out. God anointed Michael to do the job. So Jesus came in Luke 10:19, and he said, I've given you power to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. These signs will follow you as you believe. First sign, you will cast out devils. So why are you calling the pastor? There's a devil in my house. Cast it out. You don't need me to do that. What am I going to say? Put him on the phone. He's given you power to tread on snakes and scorpions and over. The Amplified Bible says physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy has. That means whatever way he shows up, you got something for him. If you know that, you won't be afraid of anything. But if you don't believe that, you'll be afraid of everything. That's why we have to stop identifying with things of the devil. We have to stop. We go from worshiping the devil through Halloween to Thanksgiving. Those young people were killed attending a Halloween festival. There was a couple that disappeared. Well, they were found dead. I forget which foreign company they were in, but they were in there celebrating the Day of the Dead, not knowing they were going to become one of them. And I don't say that to be funny. The Bible says have nothing to do with the evil enterprises of darkness, but let your life be such that it exposes them. It goes back to your city set on a hill that can't be hidden. Let your light so shine. Verse 13, because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so you're protected as you confront. So you go to the meetings and say, no, you are not teaching that nonsense to my children. No. And you're protected from the verbal barrage you may get by others. You're insensitive. No, I'm sensitive. I'm sensitive to the will of my Father. And don't misunderstand me. I love you, but I'm not standing for what you want to perpetrate on my children, because that goes against what God says. But see, that shouldn't be the first time they've seen you or heard you. When I learned that, I was well known in all of my children's schools. I literally had carte blanche. I didn't need an appointment. I could go up to security guard. Hi, Mr. Carr. Hey, who are you checking on today? Ulysses. Okay. And I go right to the classroom. Walk in. Teach you the middle lesson. Hi, Mr. Carr. Or what I didn't want to hear was, I'm so glad you came today. One of my sons had his head down on a desk like this. I walk in the room. He doesn't see me. And the girl in the room says, ooh, Ulysses. Why? Because they knew who I was. I wanted everybody to know who were my children. God wants everyone to know who his children are. He wants us protected as we confront. He said, put on truth as a belt to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as a protective armor that covers your heart. Why do you need that? You need to be reminded that even though these people are being motivated by the devil, God still loves them, and you have to also. Stand on your feet alert. I learned something. You were in the military. Were you in the military, Deacon Don? See, I knew I was going to need you again. Stand up. Just stand in your way and relax. But now there's an assignment, and I have to go in the room and let Deacon Donald know that I have an assignment for him. The first thing I say is, attention. Then I give the instructions. It's the same way in the spirit realm. God had said, be alert. He said, be at attention. Then you get the command. Right face. I can't do a bow face on the rug. My feet, the soles of my shoes will get stuck. At ease. Dismissed. But all commands start from the place of attention. So if we're not paying attention, we're not going to hear what to do in the midst of these situations. We have to train ourselves that in the midst of the chaos, we're standing at attention, looking at our commander in chief, knowing he's going to send some instructions. Because when you look up that scripture, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. One translation says instruction, not sound mind. When you're confronted with an opportunity for fear, instructions will come on what you're to do about it. But if you're like this, you're not going to hear the instructions. Yes, sir, I got it. And then you speak. And then you act. And you're acting from a point of strength, and you ain't scared of nothing. You guys have to stop speeding up the clock every time I come out here. I've talked to Pastor Ed. He has more time. I come out here, you. It says, in every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield. It is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. So as you're approaching the devil, he's shooting arrows at you. We have the example of the marching around Jericho in the open. In the open. Just their presence doing that messed up all the military knowledge and strategy that the folk, their enemies had. Because they're marching in the open, you have archers on the wall. It's like, one down, there's another one. We can do this all night. Well, yeah, keep marching, a little more. They didn't think about that. Not one soldier said, this is the dumbest plan I ever heard. They all operated in agreement. They all operated in agreement. They embraced the power of salvation's full deliverance. So their thoughts were protected from lies. We need to embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance and stop being afraid when someone says that something's going to take us out. Your thoughts need to be protected from lies. But Jesus said, I got to speed this up, folks. Jesus said, he asked his disciples when he was in the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they said, some say this, some say that. What do you say? Who do you say I am? And Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter got a revelation. That revelation should have made it solid for him the rest of his days. But it didn't. And it was such a powerful revelation. Jesus said, on that revelation that I am the Christ, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Against what? Against the knowledge that he, Jesus, is the Christ. When you're confronted with anything, you turn to he who is the Christ. Because you have that, doesn't matter who you come up against. Think about Nebuchadnezzar. And who is the God that'll deliver you out of my hand? Well, buddy, you're about to find out. And he had to say, because of the way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego conducted themselves, King Nebuchadnezzar had to say, anybody who says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut to pieces. No other God can serve and deliver like that. Why? Because the three of them were like a city. You don't have to go up, but you understand. Set upon a hill that can't be hidden. Their actions and everything proved their God was the real God. And that's what's missing from society today. Thanks again. I can get a little workout today. But Jesus asked, when Jesus asked his disciples, but who do you say I am? I realized it as I was reading it last night. It took me into an extra hour. Thank you very much. I really don't mind it. I get excited about it. Who in every situation, the question is the same. Who do you say Jesus is? I don't care what it is you're confronting. Who do you say Jesus? It doesn't matter what your mother said or the pastor said. Who do you say? What is Jesus to you? What's the Holy Ghost to you? That's what's going to determine whether or not you operate in fear or faith. Who do you say? Because the devil comes, and when he comes, that's his question. Where's your Jesus now? That's why we have to be mindful, even the songs we sing. One song I don't sing, because it sounds nice, but it contradicts the scripture. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the Amplified Bible, he amplifies it. I will not in any way forsake you. But then I sing a song, whisper his name and he'll come running. If he's always with me, where's he running from? Where did he leave? When did he leave? And then whispering's not enough. Now I got to shout out his name. No, I don't. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. I just need to be at attention. But I want to take my last few moments with you. I want to share with you something I saw in the account of David and Goliath. You can follow along in 1 Samuel 17. I'll be in the New King James. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Succoth, which belonged to Judah, and they encamped between Succoth, Azekah, and Ephes. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they were encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. That means they were hooting and hollering just like before a football game. They're clanging that sword. Yeah, we're going to kill the Philistines. Yes, we're going to kill the Philistines. Are we not the army of God? Yes, we're the army of God. Can we be defeated? No, we can't be defeated. Go, 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 go. Goliath steps out. We don't need armies to fight. Send me one man. You guys are so bad. You're Israelites. You got a covenant with God. Send one man. If he kills me, we're your slaves. If I kill him, you're our slaves. And Israel turned and said, exit stage left. And the soldiers were not talking, we can do this. They were saying things like, did you see the size of that man? Nobody can beat him. The king was afraid. All of the high priests were afraid. There was only one person in that entire kingdom that was not afraid. Enter David. Daniel, rather. No, David. I read the first time. A shepherd, a teenager, and his job every day was to bring food to his brothers. So he was taking food, and he heard Goliath. And he said, Goliath was a big dude, almost 10 feet tall. I started thinking about his arm. He had an armor bearer, and his shield was 100 and something pounds. I'm talking about how big was his armor bearer. The armor bearer was bigger than David. The head on his spear weighed 600 shekels. And he said, why have you not come out up for battle? And he mocked who they were. He said, you're an Israelite. Am I not a Philistine? I thought you guys were better than us. Why are you hiding behind the mountains? Come on out. I'm out. I'm here. Bring it. So even though the kings and the priests were afraid, David was not afraid. Even though his iPad malfunctioned. I don't want to capture a quick note. Devil, that's all you got? So someone said done. It's like I'm done with this distraction. So done. David was the youngest. His brothers were in battle. And David said something that should have been a rallying cry. He said, because I'm scrolling through, David said, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away this reproach from Israel? He said, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who does that? What is, has he forgotten who we are? No, what happened was is the Israelites forgotten, they had forgotten who they were. And then Saul said to him, you can't go out against him. You can't. This man, you're a youth. You're a young whippersnapper. This guy's been killing people since he was a whippersnapper. And David said, King, all due respect, I'll bow if I need to, but you need to understand something. I'm a shepherd. My job is to take care of those which were assigned to me. A bear came and took one that was assigned to me to protect. I went out, hit it, and took my sheep back. Listen to what it said, and we read over this. When it rose up against me, I hit it and killed it. So, yeah, I understand you're a bear, you eat sheep, you're not eating any of mine. I take it back, you go on your way, have a long life. But you're going to turn on me? Oh, you got to die. Said, when it rose up against me, I smote it and killed it. A lion came and did the same thing. I did the same thing. I killed the lion and the bear. But then he said something that we have to remember. The same God that delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. The same God. So we have to stop forgetting who we are and what we have and what we've done. Just because something looks a little scary, or gets a little loud. You know, it's funny. We've all have children or encountered children, and they don't do what you say. You know, go sit down. One time, I was taking a group of my grandkids to Liberty Science Center, and one didn't want to wear his jacket. And I'll sit down and talk and reason. You give me a good reason. Hey, fine. But he didn't have one. I said, no, take your jacket. We have a walk. It's too cold. We get there. Where's your jacket? He said, I don't want to wear it. I said, wear it. Like that, in the car. To this day, my granddaughter says, remember when we went to Liberty Science Center? Said, you were very loud, Grandpa. So sometimes you may have to change your voice to get someone's attention. But sometimes you could scream to the top of your lungs and it won't matter to them. What do you do then? That's why they were afraid of Goliath. First of all, they never expected to face anyone like Goliath. Well, David didn't expect to have to face a lion and a bear. But he understood he was in covenant with God. We have to understand that we have on the whole armor of God, so we are protected as we fight. Imagine a lion opening his mouth and can't clamp down on you. He's wondering what happened. He's like... Meanwhile, David slits his throat, goes to the edge of the field. Any other hungry lions out there? These are my sheep. God said, these are my children. I have empowered them. Why won't we take that and run with it? We're talking about the Creator of the universe. At least that's who I'm talking about. Who are you talking about? So, I said all of that to let you know we shouldn't, our strength is not based on how often we exercise. We need to exercise, but that's not where we get our strength to do spiritual warfare. We get it by spending time on our knees, connecting with God, being at attention so we hear the commands, and not taking in the spirit of fear when it's presented. I believe that before, just like in military operations, they send out surveillance. I think spiritually, the devil sends the spirit of fear going in among the people. Do things to make them not believe. Then the attack comes. Because you're in a state of unbelief. And I'll never forget these words by Pastor Clinton. He said, learn this stuff during peacetime. When you're in basic training, they give you an M16. Well, I don't know what they give you now. They give you a weapon. And you learn all about that weapon. You learn how to keep it clean, oiled, ready to go. You do that during basic training before you are sent into battle. Why? Because when you're sent into battle, that's not the time. The enemy's coming. How do I get this going? How do I? Too late. You're in a box with a flag on it. Because you didn't learn during peacetime, so you're scrambling during wartime. We don't want to be scramblers. We should be standing at attention, listening to the instructions that's coming from God through Jesus via the Holy Ghost, and do what he says. You have not been given the spirit of fear. You have been given power, love, and a sound mind. It's important to remember that because you get afraid and your mind goes tilt. You've been given a sound mind. So you see through the fear to the victory. Say, I see through the fear to the victory. And I hear the steps and take them. I'm going to unhook here. Don't want to. Because I'm looking for things, but I told God we're going to keep the time frame, unless the Holy Ghost wants to do something different. Oh, I need to tell you this. I left this out. It's important. When Saul was agreeable to let David go and fight, Saul figured, well, let me give him fighting clothes. David put on his armor and tried to walk. Couldn't, for he had not tested them. He wasn't used to fighting in them. And he said, no, I'm going into battle. I got to go into battle wearing what I always wear. When you go into battle, you need to be wearing what you always wear. The full armor of God. It can't be, could you bring me a chair? Can I just need you to stand there, right there. This is the last time for everything. turn and face me. Okay. So I get a glimpse that troubles are coming. and I look, I'm not ready. I got to, as trouble is advancing, take baby steps toward me. I'm like, what do I put on first? Oh, let me get, no, not my helmet. Oh, let me put, I don't know what, Jesus, help me. Where I should have already been fully dressed. When the enemy comes, you hear Clint Eastwood music. And I turn around in the name of Jesus. Leave now. I said, not, Lord, I did what you said. It didn't work. Thanks, Deacon Don. Do you understand, folks? Because when you leave here, you're going to be tested. You're going to have opportunities to grab hold of the spirit of fear. God said, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, wherein there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift. Fear is not a good gift. It's far from being a perfect gift. And it doesn't come down from the Father of light. It comes up from the Lord of darkness. We have to stop embracing it. Fear is not your friend. Say, fear is not my friend. I'm going to unhook. I don't see any more notes. But it's, folks, I can't get off of this. We're the church. We were founded on a revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. We're his church. And like the song we sang, he gave us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now, think about what a key does. It unlocks to give access. Either it gives access for you to go in, or it gives a point of egress for something to come out. But whether it's in or out, you have the control because you have the keys. So if you bound, really, a more modern translation of that scripture, you've been given the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind has already been bound in heaven. So why didn't it stay in heaven? If we're locked up in heaven, well, when Satan fall, it fell with him. So we send it back. That's why we were given authority. Stop being afraid. People have told me stories. They go to these deliverance services and they encounter demons that are rolling on the floor and snarling and hissing at them. It scared me to death. Why? Why don't you just call it out? I told you, just call it out. When, think about your God and your most prominent archangel turns on you. God didn't call a Godhead together and say, I don't know what to do about this guy. Hey, Michael, yeah, take care of my light work. Bible says there was war in heaven. Satan and his angels were at war with Michael and prevailed not. How did he leave? Well, Jesus told us. I saw Satan fall like lightning. It happened that fast. It's probably the shortest war in history. Well, that's the way it should be, folks, when stuff rides up. There are a lot of people fretting over the outcome of the election. I thought this was going to happen, that's going to happen. We have to pray for whomever's in office, whether we like them or not. We have to pray the same way, whether we like. God knows. See, I'll say this, and then if I don't quit, you can pull me off. God knows what that person running believes. And he didn't see fit to strike them out so that they couldn't run. He knew who's going to win. And he knew some people were going to win that were for things that he's not for. He has the church here. If I were God, I wouldn't be concerned about that either. I have my people down here. They'll pray. The attitude of the leaders will change. We'll have a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It's when God's people start connecting with the world system, that's when the problems have to happen, because it causes division among the church. A house divided against itself won't stand. The devil is trying to divide the house. And we say no. Somebody has to be the example. And if it's no one else, it will be Redeeming Love Christian Center. Why? Because we're a place where the love of God is evident. The word of God is taught, the spirit of God directing, and the power of God is manifested. And that's what the people want to know. So we need to take the attention of the people off of people and back on Christ. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you've given us a lot to chew on, but it's nothing that we don't understand or can't understand. What we do understand is that we have to always stand at the position of attention so we can receive your instructions. We understand that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and sound mind, so we can receive your instructions. We can understand your instructions. We can act on your instructions. We repent for the times we may have acted in fear. But even though it's a cute cliche, we can say with a surety there's no fear here, not in this house, not in these temples, not now, not ever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone here who's never received Jesus Christ as Savior? What do I mean by that? You never asked him into your life. You could stand at attention. You're going to hear a voice. But Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." We want you in a position where the only voice you hear is the voice of Christ. So if you're not saved and you'd like to be, just raise your hand. Know that you are capable and expected to do everything you heard today. If God said it, or since God said it, let it be settled in your heart. Spend time praying in the Holy Ghost about today's message. What are you saying to me, Lord? And what am I to do with this new information or new revelation, whatever it is that you got today? Or it's like, Lord, I don't know what they were talking about. I need some clarity. Whatever it is. But don't let it be something you just heard, you leave, and then that's that. Spend time thinking about it. Meditate on it. So you see how it fits in your everyday walk. I do that even with the notes I have. I go back, I look at them. And I say, oh, man, I should have said this. But then I realize what I said is what the people needed to hear.